Good morning, everyone. You're listening to the World Teacher Program for Share International New Zealand on Planet FM 104.6. Each Friday morning, we bring you information from the teachers of the Ageless Wisdom. The purpose of our program is to introduce Maitreya, the world teacher for the Age of Aquarius. Maitreya does not come alone. He brings with him the Masters of Wisdom, a group of highly evolved teachers who work in many fields and teach us the art of living, how to work in right relationship with each other. With their inspiration, we can transform our civilization, creating justice and peace, and use the technological advances available to us. The information we present is taken from the writings of Benjamin Krem, a disciple of a Master of Wisdom, and also from teachers of the Ageless Wisdom. We include teachings from many schools of thought to demonstrate how they are working out in the world. Our articles are often inspiring. We hope to inform the public of actions taken around the globe to improve conditions for us all and to find means of addressing some of our most pressing problems.
And good morning to everyone today. Our program starts off with acknowledgement of the young and education. Then we have a piece from the Dutch International Group, who had a visit from Maitreya himself. First is an article from Benjamin Krem's master. It's titled, The Aspiration of the Young. It will not surprise any intelligent reader to learn that, in our estimation, the present chaotic economic and resultant social conditions will not last for very much longer. Nor do we see a sudden transformation and return to the mythical status quo. The peoples of the world in millions have begun to sense the aroma of freedom, and for little longer will be denied its boon.
Across the world, most especially among the young, the potent desire for change is being given expression. The young want a new kind of world, a new structure which includes them and their aspirations. These aspirations are for justice and sharing, for meaningful work and an opportunity to raise their families in sufficiency and peace. For too long have they languished in poverty and obscurity, denied a say in their life's endeavour. From now on, the governments of the world will have to consider seriously these aspirations of the hitherto silent majority and change their plans accordingly. The landed rich will find it difficult to maintain the dramatic gap between their way of life and that of the average peasant as the cry for equality forces change. It will be understood that the present divisions in financial power are central to the instability of world finance.
The old order is collapsing, and no government can halt this process. The new energies of Aquarius are waxing stronger, breaking asunder the old corrupt and decadent order. The young and young at heart are the first to register the appearance of this aspiration for justice. The desire for right relationship wells up strongly in the hearts of the young. Meanwhile, Maitreya continues his progress among the nations, speaking freely of the need for justice, sharing, and love.
These ideas are finding many followers as the tension of today's conditions makes its impact throughout the world. In the USA and Mexico, in Brazil, Russia, China, and other countries, Maitreya places before his audiences the alternatives facing humanity. To continue on the present senseless and greedy path to oblivion, or to see the world as one, on a journey to perfection as brothers and sisters, to see that only sharing and justice will give us the peace we all desire and a world that prospers according to the plan. And so find our way back to the truth and beauty we once knew and fostered.
And now, in Point of View from the April Share International magazine, is a piece about how crucial education is for refugee girls. It's called Her Turn. United Nations report reveals critical gap in education for refugee girls. Access to education is a fundamental human right. Yet for millions of women and girls among the world's growing refugee populations, education remains an aspiration and not a reality. For all refugee children around the world, the school gates are a great deal harder to prise open than they are for their non-refugee peers. For refugee girls, it is even tougher to find and keep a place in the classroom. As they get older, they face more marginalization and the gender gap in secondary schools grows wider.
It's time for the international community to recognize the injustice of denying refugee girls and women an education, says Filippo Grandi, the UN High Commissioner for Refugees. These findings are a global wake-up call, and I urge all to join us in demanding, "It is her turn." The UNHCR's report reveals that social and cultural conventions often result in boys being prioritised over girls to attend school. Poor facilities, such as a lack of appropriate toileting and menstrual supplies, can block refugees' girls' access to schools, adding to the challenge, the cost of books, uniforms and the journey itself to school can be prohibitive for refugee families.
Finding solutions to the challenges refugee girls face as they strive to go to school requires action right across the board, from national education ministries to teacher training institutions in community and classrooms, added Grandi. There are formidable barriers to overcome. We are calling for an international effort to turn the tide. To help more refugee girls get a quality education, United Nations report highlights a number of action and policies that are both effective and deliverable. If refugee adults are able to work and support their families, they are more likely to let their children stay in school. No girl should miss school because the journey to school is too far or too dangerous. Refugee girls need better protection from harassment, sexual assault, and kidnapping on the way to school. There is also an urgent need to recruit and train more female teachers from within both the host nation and refugee communities to ensure they promote best practice and guard against behavior that will deter girls from setting foot in the classroom.
The report notes that for refugee girls, a quality education is protective. It reduces vulnerability to exploitation, sexual and gender-based violence, teenage pregnancy and child marriage. Education is also empowering. The further girls progress with their schooling, the more they develop leadership skills, entrepreneurship, self-reliance and resilience. These advantages are clearly illustrated in the individuals featured in the report, from the Burundian and Rwandan teenagers in Paysanat El School, just outside Mahama refugee camp, who study alongside one another and who have become great friends, to the Rohingya teacher who devotes her evenings to teaching the many new arrivals from that community fleeing violence in Myanmar. If we continue to neglect refugee girls' education, it is evident that the consequences will be felt for generations, says Grandi. It's time to make refugee girls' education a priority. It is indeed her turn.
We recently came across this richly informative letter in our archives. It shows Maitreya's simplicity and the personal way in which he spoke. Since it contains much practical guidance, the right detachment attitude to our work, his own approach to how the process of the emergence is working out, and the fact of his presence, we have decided to reprint an abbreviated version with all Maitreya's advice, but without most of our comments. Please see Share International, January-February 2004, for the full letter. Dear Editor, on the 15th of November 2003, nine people were in the Information Center in Amsterdam working on the December 2003 issue of Share International. A visitor entered, a tall, slim, elegant, smartly dressed gentleman of about 70. He looked as if he was about to laugh, although he spoke seriously and with great authority. He came in to exchange a book he'd bought one 3 weeks before and now wanted to buy another instead. By bringing the book back, he alerted us to the fact that he was the same man who had visited the information center and spoken to two colleagues. He had been confirmed to be a familiar of Maitreya.
He started by asking about transmission meditation groups. What other activities are you involved in? We said that we take part in the fairs, the spiritual fairs. He replied, yes, fairs are very useful work, but lectures are more important because those who go to fairs may or may not be interested. It's random. People see the stand, see the information, and they may take a folder and read it later. So fairs are useful. But with lectures, it's a self-selecting public. And our public is small. Those who are directly interested will come to a lecture, and so they're already open to our information. When there's a lecture, they come to hear and to learn. Just reading is not so important. Some people read a lot, but just do the work. Just do it, he said. What does a transmission meditation workshop consist of? We answered, and he replied, yes, that sounds good, a good system, a good arrangement. You have both. You inform the public and you transmit the energies. That sounds like a good balance. We live in the world, and since we live in the world, we have to inform people. How do we do that? Well, we must communicate with them, to give lectures and to talk to them. But man must walk on two legs, so both activities, informing the public and transmitting the energies, are important. Both are necessary.
Now, there are people in these groups who are always asking, when is he going to come? How long must we still wait? Why is it taking so long? But why ask all these questions? One cannot really say that he's coming because he is here. He's already here. Don't they know it? Don't they see him? It is about his presence in the world, and that is happening. Perhaps it has taken longer than they had hoped. It has taken longer than I had hoped, and perhaps it is working out differently from the way we expect it, differently even from what I expected. But it is working out. He is there. I have no doubt whatsoever that it is working out. It's still working out. It is working out. No shadow of a doubt. None whatever. Many people know he's here. They know it inwardly, intuitively. And many people are open to hearing that Maitreya is here.
On hearing that not many members of the public take leaflets at information booths, Maitreya said, just be there. Be there, that's all. Not everyone is going to be interested. People are involved in their own thoughts. The most important thing is to be there. Those who are ready will respond. It is not for you to hope. You don't have to hope or want anything. Just do it. Just give the information they ask. Look, we're not going to convert people. We're not here to proselytize. We're not missionaries. We tell them if they ask. The most important thing is that in essence it's all here. If you're open to it, you just know it. You don't need to think about it. You don't need to talk about it if you're open to it. You know that, in essence, it's all here. The result shouldn't concern you. Just do it. Don't want results. Don't look for results. It's a Western attitude, a habit of mind, that we always think we have to make something happen. We think we have to do things to make things happen, but it's not necessary. And all change happens slowly, very gradually. Just think of how many times, how many lives. You know what it's like yourselves. How many times we fall and stand up, fall and try again, and fall and stand up again, life after life after life. Change takes time.
And in response to concerns about the state of the planet, you may worry as much as you wish, but it will not change anything. Worrying will not help, but everything will still work out. What is true is that we will face difficult times. We will go to the edge of the abyss, but we will not fall in. We will skirt it, but we will not fall over the edge. Everything will work out. all will be well. There is nothing to fear. I have no doubt at all, no doubt whatsoever. I have no more authority than anyone else, but it is my belief, I know it. At this point, we understood him to mean that his belief is born of conviction coming from knowing. He seemed to mean the difference between simple, unfounded hope and his belief or conviction based on knowing. He continues, people talk about hope, but if you believe it, hope isn't necessary. Don't forget how powerful Maitreya is. People forget how powerful Maitreya is.
He bowed to us all and said, I thank you heartily, with his hand on his heart. We had known that he was Maitreya, or a familiar of Maitreya, and he knew that we knew. We all behaved as if this was quite normal or ordinary, but at the same time there was a heightened atmosphere, a hush of incredulity. He left us in no doubt that he is here and that all will be well. We were correct in thinking, I beg your pardon, were we correct in thinking that the visitor was Maitreya? And this letter comes from the Information Center in Amsterdam. And the footnote says, Benjamin Krem's master confirmed that the visitor was indeed Maitreya. A visit from Maitreya the Christ, Pete. What do you think about that?
Yes. Wow.
We'd like to finish with a piece that shows the youth taking, not control, but certainly speaking out, taking their place, perhaps. Students across the USA have been calling for changes to gun laws after the mass shooting at a high school in Florida on 14th of February this year, in which 14 students and 3 teachers were killed. Led by survivors of the shooting, students are holding rallies and speaking out vocally against the culture of gun ownership in the US and the close association between the National Rifle Association and the government.
The students have been forming a new movement under the hashtag Never Again and have organized a March for Our Lives in Washington on 24th of March, supported by more than 50 sister marches in cities across the U.S. The movement is spreading outside the U.S. at the time of writing. 648 events are planned worldwide. In between memorials and funerals for their lost classmates, student survivors have been holding school walkouts and die-ins to highlight the issue and to demand that not one more child be killed while attending school. The passionate and articulate children, joined by grieving parents, have been making speeches and giving interviews, gaining media attention across the world. 18-year-old Emma Gonzalez, speaking in an interview with The People, said the politicians aren't doing enough. We don't want these people in charge of us anymore. We have to be the politicians in this instance. We have to be the people calling for change, demanding change, she said.
And it's come to my attention that there's one shooting in a school in the USA each week currently.
On average.
On average.
Yeah.
Shocking.
Really
absolutely
bad, isn't
shocking.
It? Yeah.
And this is where the kids are starting to take place of... Yeah, it's unbelievable, really. All power to the kids. That is our show. If you want any more information, you can look at the website, share-international.org, or you can email us at sharenz@yahoo.com. Thanks for listening. Have a good Friday.